Welcome to Soul Searching, the Soul Recruitment Podcast, where we tackle all sorts of great topics in the areas of recruitment, job searching, mindset, technology, marketing, culture, and lots more. It's amazing what you'll pick up. Thanks for joining me. Welcome back, everybody. It's episode 38 of Soul Searching, the Soul Recruitment Podcast. I'm Darren Saul, your host. Hope everybody's doing fantastically well. I have the lovely Charissa Lim with me here today. How are you, Charissa?
Very well today. A great day. So thank you for asking.
Yeah, Friday afternoon is the perfect time for a podcast.
Yes, absolutely. TGIF.
I love it. Now, we're going to be chatting today all about using DISC profiling to recruit and manage your people better. Now, Charissa is a certified DISC consultant and a huge DISC advocate. Her passion lies in supporting hiring managers, human resource managers, and recruiters in harnessing the power of DISC profiling to make recruiting smarter, not harder. I love that. And over the years, I mean, there's always been this discussion about psychometric testing. Does it work? Does it not work? Should we include it in our recruitment processes? So we're going to get into that today. And Charissa, I just wanted to say thank you again. Really appreciate you coming on the show and can't wait to get into this discussion.
Thanks, Darren. My absolute pleasure.
Love it. So let's start at the top. Tell us a bit more about you. Tell us about your story. How did you get into this? Why do you love it so much? I'd love to hear the backstory.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, where do I begin? All right, to cut a long story short, I was born in Singapore. And after graduating in business management, the first role that I got into was actually in human resources, where I was put into the L&D division for a large multinational company. So they asked me to undertake a DISC assessment or a DISC certification so we could actually integrate it into the recruitment and employee processes that they had ongoing at the moment. For around 300 staff. So that's how I got started into DISCs, and that's been for the past 15 years. So over the 15 years since then, I've had various positions across China, India, and Australia itself. And I've come to appreciate how simple, effective, and powerful DISC can be in finding out how a person behaves. And this has led me to creating my own bespoke DISC profiling business around 18 months ago.
Love it. And nice and busy?
Yes, fairly busy.
Fantastic. And you know what? Yes. Funny, when you mentioned that, it kind of made sense to me because over the years, there's been more and more attention put on the soft side of things, on, you know, the soft skills, empathy, emotional intelligence. And no wonder that DISC and profiling have kind of picked up a lot over the last few years because it's so important to look after the people, who they are, rather than just what they can do.
That's exactly right. So culture fit is one thing, but I'll be sharing a little bit more about how DISC can help in other ways as well.
Oh, fantastic. So let's hear a little bit more about DISC for the people that might not know. People might know some other profiling tests out there or profiles because there's so many, but DISC is one of the biggest. But just maybe give us a quick rundown into, you know, what DISC is, what does it stand for, how does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. So essentially, for those who have not experienced the DISC assessment itself, it is a four-factor behavioral model. It's a behavioral framework, and it was founded by an American psychologist called William Marston in the early 1920s. Wow. So that means DISC has been around for over 100 years. Yeah, so and William Marston discovered that people are motivated by their own reasons, not our reasons, and recognized that an individual could possess many traits to more or less of a degree. So a person can have a blend of the four DISC factors. So at the end of the day, DISC is an assessment tool that will measure your behaviors, how you might react, and how you respond in certain situations.
Love it. And it can be a little different. Like your profile can be a bit different personally and professionally, can't it?
Correct. That's correct. So to give you a real world example, DIS can help you determine if a candidate's underlying nature is that of a structured and organized versus, say, flexible and adaptable in their approach to a given task, so that this can ultimately help a recruiter or a hiring manager in not only the hiring process, but in managing their existing staff. So that's one of the great benefits of DIS.
Love it. And especially nowadays when there's more and more remote working.
Correct.
You know, it's even harder to manage people because you're not always physically in front of them. You know, this kind of stuff is really important.
Yes.
And so the DIS, tell us about the four letters. What do they stand for?
Yeah. So in a nutshell, quick crash course in a DIS. The D
doesn't... 101.
So the D doesn't stand for anything specific. It's just an alphabet that represents a group of behavioral traits. But the easiest way to remember what D is that D styles are direct, determined, and dynamic. So I'm giving you all the adjectives that start with the same letter.
Sure.
Direct, determined, and dynamic people. So these, any person with a dominant D style, you would find them to be fast-paced and results-oriented. They can be quite strong-willed and forceful in nature. Right. All right. And the I styles, moving on to the I styles, we've got interactive, inspiring, and influential. Mm. So these sort of people are very sociable. They are very lively, enthusiastic, and similar to the D, they are fast-paced. However, they are people-oriented, whereas the D style is more task-oriented. The D styles are focused on the bottom line. The I styles are all about building relationships.
Gotcha. So they're more of the people.
People,
the socializers.
Person. That's correct. Now, the S styles are steady, supportive, and stable. So these are very easygoing, accommodating people, and they are slower paced. However, similar to what the I styles are, they're also very people oriented, just toned down a little bit, not as, you know, out there as the I styles.
Okay.
And, yeah. And finally, we've got the C styles. They are cautious, conscientious, and like to be correct. So these are my three C adjectives. So we're dealing with people who are logical in their thinking, very analytical. They like to follow policies and procedures. So in terms of their general work style, they are slower paced and they're also task oriented, similar to the D style.
Gotcha. Love it. And you can generally be dominant or, you know, more expressing one more than the other is usually
correct.
The way it works, is it?
That's right. So you will have a dominant style, but there are secondary styles that also help flesh out your overall personality or behavioral traits. Gotcha. Sometimes one will come in before the other.
Gotcha. And again, it depends on whether you're in a work situation or whether you're in a personal home situation.
That's correct.
But I'm assuming still you'd have some similarities there as well.
Yeah, there are most similarities depending on the situation. So if you find, if an individual finds that they're in a situation which is very much out of their comfort zone, they will find themselves adapting to that environment. And that's where we'll see a larger discrepancy between the work versus the home. Gotcha. Style.
Fascinating. I love it.
Yes.
And so you've been doing this for 15 years.
Yes, it's fun. It's really, really interesting to know. So, you know, I am an inherent people watcher. I always like to know what makes a person that, you know, that character, what makes a person behave that way. So
this
really helps tie things together and go, aha, you know, it's a light bulb moment, really.
Me too. And for us recruiters, I mean, you know, reading people and observing people's behavior is everything. Mm. That is the subtlety to the recruitment function. So the more we can understand how people react and any information that can help us understand people and what their drivers are can only be a good thing.
Absolutely. Yes. It's a great, what I'll call it, it's a great complementary tool to, have incorporated into a recruitment process. Yes.
True. And I just want to jump for one second. There's so many out there, but like I've heard of Myers-Briggs before. How does Myers-Briggs and DISC, how do they, compare?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it is a question that I do get asked a lot. So they're both great tools, but the key difference is that DISC is geared towards measuring a person's observable behaviors in the workplace, whereas the Myers-Briggs, or MBTI, as we know for short, is geared towards looking at a person's overall personality, their values, and also how their brain works on a fundamental level. Now, in terms of the assessment process, the biggest difference over here is that Myers-Briggs MBTI, it does incorporate on average 90 plus questions.
Oh my God.
Over 90 questions, and can take candidates 45 minutes or more to complete, depending on the individual. So it's quite a full-on assessment. Yeah. The reports themselves can be equally complex. And for this reason, a lot of recruiters, as well as HR or hiring managers, they tend to prefer DISC simply because it's a 10-minute assessment. It's very quick to administer.
Nice. And can you administer, like, you can just send a link and the person can just do it themselves anytime?
That's correct. So the way it works is that usually the link gets sent to the candidate, they complete it, the results get sent to me, and then for myself, I will then prepare the report and send it to the recruiter or hiring manager.
Oh, fantastic. And Charissa gave me an example of my own profile in a report just before we started, and it looks amazing. It's like, thank it's you. Me to a T. I couldn't believe
it. All right. Yes.
But let's chat about, you know, using DISC in the recruitment process, because obviously you've got a lot of experience with this. You deal with hiring managers, you deal with HR managers, you deal with business owners, you deal with candidates. Where's the real benefit? And maybe you can give us a story or two or an anecdote or two.
Yeah, absolutely. So as mentioned earlier, it's a 10-minute assessment, 10 to 12 minutes max. So for one thing, the first thing is it makes it very simplistic in terms of integrating it into the recruitment process. So the DISC assessment can be administered before the candidate goes for their first interview, for example, or say prior to their second or third round interview.
Nice.
Yeah. So when you think of the recruitment process, or more importantly, the interview process, you as the recruiter or the hiring manager, and you know your business, Darren, for example, say we're talking about an IT business where you're recruiting IT roles for the employer, you know what technical questions to ask about, say, servers and networks or programming, and you'll be able to determine if the person's qualifications and industry experience are a good fit for that business. But what you can't potentially and honestly determine is whether the person themselves is a good fit for the business. So the way DISC comes in is, for example, here's my a real life example. So for example, the role that you're recruiting for might require that person to be very client oriented, and that person might need to be adept at dealing with your client's senior management staff, or say the people in the finance department. Therefore, the DISC assessment comes in to help you determine if that person's behavioral traits fit that sort of role expectations. It might suggest that their preferred style is more of the quiet back office workhorse. So using the IT analogy, they might be a brilliant programmer, but they don't want to be directly dealing with clients, and you shouldn't put them in that situation if you want to get the best out of them. Gotcha. So the DISC reports will allow a hiring manager to make a more informed decision and ask the right questions during the interview to confirm what the report is telling you versus what the candidate says in the interview itself.
Love it. And yeah. I'll jump in for a second. And, you know, it actually, a lot of the times when we recruit, a lot of candidates might think that they might do certain tests like this, and it's a yay or a nay or a make or break. But actually, it's not a lot of the time. It's just, how do we best manage you? How do we best fit you? How do we best work with you? So it's not always about, if you don't pass the test, you're not going to pursue, you're not going to progress in the recruitment process.
That's correct.
Let's give us more information so we can help you do your job better.
Yeah. So understanding more about how you react or behave in certain situations, what are your motivating factors, what sort of areas make you feel stressed, and also this can help you to identify what sort of environment the candidate will thrive in. Yeah, that is correct. Yeah. But you raised a really good point earlier, Darren, and that is that a lot of candidates are very nervous about these sort of assessments. So for a recruiter or a hiring manager, or if anyone's listening, a business owner, for example, it is important to set the candidate's expectations right. You need to brief the candidate and let them know that there are no right or wrong answers in a profiling assessment. And more importantly, they need to answer the questions in a very authentic and honest manner, because like you said, it's just to help them understand how to work with you better as a candidate, how to manage you better. So it's really for the candidate's benefit if they were to answer it in the most authentic manner and not try and game it. I know some business owners or recruiters are worried about candidates gaming it. Yep. So it's really important to not just plonk the assessment in front of the candidate and go, we're going to make you do a profiling assessment. And that freaks the candidate out. Yeah. So,
you know, funny enough, years ago when I was getting into the industry, we're talking 20 plus years ago, sometimes they'd make me sit and do a 4-hour or 2-hour psychometric test. It wasn't
something else. Something else.
And,
yeah.
And, you know, we did. After a while, we started to recognize the patterns. And we started to recognize that they were trying to ask the same type of thing in a slightly different way. So you could game it a little bit.
Yes.
But I'm glad you said DISC is only 10 minutes because 2 hours and 4 hours, forget it.
Yeah, it's too much. Yes. It's probably more appropriate for, say, an intensive leadership, management coaching session. But for a recruitment at a recruitment level, I think 10 minutes is enough.
Yeah, I agree with you, especially with our attention span.
Yeah, that's right.
But I want to chat, Charissa, about work-life balance and even more remote working.
Yes.
Because obviously in the last few years, everybody's working more remotely. It's becoming almost a prerequisite. How can DISC help managers, either in the recruitment process, but also maybe in the management process of remote workers?
Yes, that's a really great point that you've brought up, Darren. So now that with the whole pandemic, the world has really pivoted, 360 degrees, and we have so many companies, employers having to move towards the remote working model. And a lot of candidates are also expected to be managed from a remote working environment as well. Now, the remote working environment is vastly different because there is no face-to-face interactions. It's not like the manager or the team leader can turn around and talk to the employee. You are no longer in a situation where you can turn around and just observe how that person is working, or be able to sense or find out or pick up what kind of issues the employee is struggling with. Yeah. So the whole face-to-face dynamics has been taken away from team leaders, employers, and managers. Therefore, this can manage remote working expectations. And this is what I will be sharing, a few quick tips into how to manage employees who come across the different four styles.
Love it.
Yeah. All right. So let's start with the D style. So as mentioned earlier, the three Ds that describe a D would be dynamic, direct, and determined. So D styles, because they are driven in nature, they want to get things done and they will get things done. However, these sort of D style employees will suffer or can suffer from a lack of connection because they thrive on competition. Mm-hmm. All right, they're go, go, go. They're very competitive and they like being heard. So as a manager, leader, or business owner, when you are interacting with a D-style employee, your main focus is to get to the point when communicating with them. Don't ramble on. You need to be solutions focused as well. And it can be work the other way around. It can be an employee dealing or interacting with a D-style manager or a business owner. So the key thing here is we want to cut away the ramble. We want to get up to the point and have solutions on the table. Don't talk about problems. Also, because DSLs are so direct, it is advised to actually call them if you want to talk about something rather than passing emails back and forth. So you're finding that, you know, you're talking about a certain issue and you're flipping emails back and forth. It is just best to call a DSL employee and get it sorted out.
Yeah, or jump on a Zoom call and just do it face-to-face. Might even be better.
Yeah, that's correct. Because emails back and forth take up too much time and they hate wasting time.
Yep, right, that makes perfect sense.
That's right. It's also important to let DSL's employees be heard. Let them update you or the entire team on their achievements and progresses because they celebrate wins. They love to win and they love celebrating their victories. When you are assigning tasks to a DSL employee, you want to give them clear guidelines and expectations and the results that you expect of them. So make the results really clearly communicated. And the last tip for a DSL employee, just to motivate them, is to set targets to motivate them and drive them forward because they're so competition driven.
Love it. So D's, no fluff, just get straight to the point.
That's
it. Give them something to chase.
Yeah, spot on. Yep, you've hit the nail on the head.
I love it.
Yep.
And what about the eye?
All right, with the eye styles, all right, interactive, influential, that sort of thing. So the eye style individuals are all about building relationships and having lots of social interaction. So working from home a lot or most of the time will very likely cause them to experience feelings of isolation. Yeah. And this can impact on their motivation and productivity level. It's a bit of a struggle to get all revved up when they're just sitting in front of the computer with no one around them.
That's right. They need attention. They need an audience.
That's correct. That is correct. So to motivate an ISL employee, as a manager or a business owner, you want to set up video calls to encourage interactive conversations. They do enjoy seeing themselves on screen or appreciate seeing themselves on screen or seeing others on screen as well. Yep. And it's also important to check in regularly with ISL employees just to make sure that they stay motivated.
Love it.
You also want to set new goals for the iStyles because they actually do not like routine. They hate predictability and they will get bored if things stay the same for a while. So just be very mindful of this fact. If you feel that there are no new tasks for an iStyle employee, it's time to think about changing the scenery a little bit.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. These are great. I love these tips.
Thank you. So to keep them engaged, you want to encourage chat via text messages, or if you have an in-house chat app like Slack, Google Chat, Teams, Skype, or any other kinds of messaging apps, do encourage that sort of interaction. So it's important to just check in on them. How is your day? How are you going? That sort of thing. And my last tip is that managers do need to remember to praise or compliment iStyles for a job well done because this particular style embraces public recognition. So it's also good to acknowledge their achievements in a group email because they appreciate that sort of thing. Ah, you know, my manager has praised me in front of my team, and they just love and bath in that sort of compliment.
I love it. Yeah. And I can just imagine while you're talking, I'm thinking you've got to be very careful not to put an I and a D together because they'll probably kill each other.
Yes and no. Yeah. So every style has some similar traits. So the I and D will work well in the sense together because they're both fast paced. But yes, one's task oriented and one's people oriented. So the I style is more likely to chat and deviate from the task, whereas the D is just very fast focused. But they both work at a fast pace.
And so I suppose
they can work together.
Okay, that's great. And I suppose that's the key as a manager. If you understand all the profiles and all the profiles of your people, then you can start to really adapt to different
that's
styles
correct.
And different needs. I think that's
correct. Yep, that is exactly right. Spot on.
Yep.
All right.
Awesome. Let's now we've got the S. Yeah,
the S-styles, that's right. So the S-style employees will also actually struggle from home because they are also people-oriented and they thrive working as part of the team. So very similar to the I-styles. They love teamwork. They love collaboration. So they will, in fact, miss the collaborative atmosphere that an actual physical environment will provide. Therefore, if you are interacting or communicating with an Estelle employee, it is important to provide clear step-by-step instructions and encourage questions to make sure that the Estelle fully understands what's required. Right. Now, one difference between the S and the I style is that the Estelles tend to be a little bit more reserved, held back. So if they're not sure of anything or they disagree with something, they will tend not to voice that out. Mm-hmm. So it's important that the Estelle encourage that sort of conversation. Now, if you notice the Estelle employee facing challenges in their work, you want to encourage them to talk about it and let them know how you can support them. Nice. All right, Estelles love being supportive, but at the same time, they like being supported. Okay, so S for support.
Nice.
Yeah. And because the Estelles like stability, make sure as a manager or team leader that they have everything they need at home to be able to carry out their tasks. So be it, you know, an office equipment or a software that they require to complete the job, make sure that they've got those, because if they do not have those, they tend to get sort of flustered productivity or efficiency may drop.
And don't change deadlines and that kind of stuff too quickly, because that'll be a nightmare.
Yes, that's right. And that's exactly the last point I was going to cover, because Estelles work at a moderate pace. So they're a little bit different from the Estelles in the sense that Estelles work fast. They're happy to work fast and just react to changes at any time, happy to do so. But the Estelles work at a slower pace, a moderate pace. So like you said, it's really important not to rush your Estelle employee to get a task completed or give them sudden last minute deadlines, because they just panic. Alternatively, if you feel that something needs to be expedited, it's important to make sure that you set clear, mutually agreed timelines. Make sure that the Estelle agrees to it. Once they commit to it, they say, yes, I can do it, they actually will make it happen.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
And then the last one, what about the C?
Yes. So finally, with the C styles, they actually slightly different from the S and I style. They will actually thrive quite well in a remote working environment because they enjoy their independence and will appreciate that quiet private space to think through their thoughts thoroughly. And because they don't like people interaction as much, you may notice that if you're a manager or a team leader having a Zoom meeting, that C-style employee prefers to turn their video off as much as possible. They just do not want to see themselves on screen. They're that reserved and that private.
Wow.
Yeah. So in terms of communicating or just managing them in general, it's important to give them written communication. They appreciate written communication, basically things in black and white. So you can't just fire off instructions over your, you know, messaging app or just ring them on the phone and say, do this, do that. You need to actually put it down in an email. Yep. And you want to provide clear detailed instructions so that they know exactly what to do. So if you're a manager, team leader, business owner, and you've identified through a DISC test that this employee is a C style, make sure that you write your instructions in, you know, a list. They love lists. So put it down in bullet points, put it down in a numbered list, and that will get the best out of them. Perfect. Otherwise, you'll feel that they will get confusion, there's no clarity, and they might miss a few things or not perform to your expectation.
So they're the ones that say, after you've gone through half an hour of, you know, discussion, they're the ones that say, can you just email me a little outline of what we just discussed?
Yeah, just to summarize, can you summarize that sort of thing? That's correct. So in terms of checking in on them to look after their welfare, you want to make sure that you schedule check-in times. Don't just pop up on them so that they actually don't feel they're being micromanaged.
Nice.
All right, because they like their own little space to work on their own, and any interruption is just, it's going to affect their productivity.
Yep, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
so I love that. That is fascinating. Yeah, and which ones work well together and which ones don't work well together?
Oh, it depends on what's happening. So in general, if you ask me to pair them up, if you look at the DISC quadrant, DISC, each of these styles are placed in a a row. So D's and I's will work together depending on the tasks. I's and S's will work together, S's okay. and C's, as well as D's and C's. So it depends on the environment. It depends on the relationship, the dynamics between two people. What will be opposing, I can tell you what will oppose, D's and S's will tend to clash. It's right. it not in a sense of arguments or conflicts, but just that in terms of communication styles, D's and S's are just complete opposites of each other. Mm-hmm. Similar with I's and C's. For example, the I loves talking a lot. They love interaction, whereas the C's, the complete opposite. Nice. If you have a D-style manager, the S-style employee will just find them very aggressive, too direct, and just will feel very stressed or overwhelmed.
And then I suppose a D and a C would probably work well together, wouldn't they?
Yes, correct. They're both very task-oriented. So if there's a task that needs to be done, the Ds will be really good at executing, whereas, say, for example, the C will be really great at finding information, putting together a proposal, that sort of thing.
Love it. Fascinating.
Yeah, yeah.
And so in terms of the DISC profiling, is there it might be a crazy question, but is there any time where you think it's not necessarily or it's not needed or it doesn't work?
Yes. So there are, it's DISC is not, you know, the magic pill. There are times when DISC is not going to be helpful in certain situations. So for example, when there are complex office politics or serious issues within the business, DISC is not going to help you, in my personal and professional opinion, resolve this or more importantly, deal with the affected staff.
Yep.
So, you know, yeah, if there are very serious
there's many other things going on that have to be addressed before.
Yeah, correct. So, but interestingly, if you're an individual and you find yourself in that sort of, you know, office politics environment and you feel that it's altered your behaviors, DISC in some circumstances can confirm that because of the whole, you know, our work versus personal style. Mm. Yeah. So I'll give an example. I was dealing with a career coach recently. One of them engaged my services on behalf of their coaching client. Mm. And when I looked at the person's report, I told the career coach that, look, I feel that this person is all over the place. At work, they're trying to be one style. So they're trying to be a people pleaser. And then at home, they are trying to run things like a military operation. And neither of those approaches are working well. It doesn't seem to reflect them at their core level. So the career coach did come back to me and say that, hey, that was actually really spot on. The client, her client identified with that. So yeah, so office politics, serious issues. Another thing that DISC will not be able to measure if you're expecting DISC to tell you would be parts of a person's personality. For example, their sense of humor, how good they are with managing their finances, their level of loyalty. DISC can't exactly measure that, as well as, you know, how their ethics, you know, how ethical they are. So these are not areas DISC measures.
And I suppose just in terms of how they fit into a particular work culture, you can fit in to a degree if you understand the profiles of the people, but there's a nuance to the culture of any organization. So that comes where you just add a bit of intuition.
That's correct. However, this does give you a really good insight into whether this person is going to fit well into the work culture. So, for example, a really great example is a work culture that's very fast-paced, lots of changes happening, go, go, go. A C style will really struggle with it.
Makes sense.
Okay. Similarly, a traditional type of workplace where things are set in stone, it's changes are slow to happen, a D style or an I style will struggle with that as well. They will find that, things are just not working out the way I want. Mm-hmm. I can't make change happen the way I want it to. And it's likely that they're not going to stay long in that position in that company.
They'll get frustrated.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. That's correct.
And I suppose as you're talking, I'm thinking another great thing to think about is if you're a manager and you're about to promote someone in your team, very careful to promote the right personality for that particular job. Because if that job requires certain things and that person is the antithesis of that, it's not going to work.
Yeah, so there's a bit of this to promotion. So it doesn't mean that, you know, a certain style can be promoted or can get into a position. So a manager or all disc styles are suited to be managers, but knowing their disc style helps in finding out what this person's limitations are. And the company or the manager will then have to find, say, mentoring programs or coaching programs to get the person to that particular level. So if you're promoting, say, an S style to be a manager of a team, the S styles are really soft-spoken. They're very gentle, accommodating, and they will actually find it really hard to give someone hard or tough feedback. So in that sort of situation, if someone who is an S style is, you know, you feel that they have potential to be promoted, they do need to be given that sort of growth opportunity in terms of how to, you know, provide constructive, firm feedback, because that's one area that they will struggle in.
Awesome. So it's good to know that these traits are coachable to a degree.
Absolutely. DISC is not set in stone. There is no profile that is worse than the other or better than the other. Each profile simply tells you what your limitations are and what you can do to actually overcome them and get to the level you want to be.
Nice. And I can also imagine, you know, thinking out loud, if someone was being coached to, you know, work on certain skills in the workplace, they might actually bring that coaching home with them as well, and they might change their home personality to a degree.
That is correct. So that does happen. I've seen and heard it happen as well. Yes. So that, because behaviors are very much a result of the environment we're in. So we can change our behaviors. We can't change our personality, but we can change our behaviors.
And a lot of that starts with just self-awareness.
That,
when you understand
that is
where you are.
100% correct. Yes.
And you recognize, you know, certain traits, then you can start to work on them. And it starts to affect the rest of your life as well.
That is absolutely correct. Yes.
Fascinating. I love it. So, Charissa, tell us more about how you actually work with people or organizations. Do you have a particular way that you work with individuals versus corporates? Tell us more about how you work.
Yes. So my reports are entirely bespoke. There are many providers out there who resell a white label of products. So the way I work is that I've built my platform from the ground up. What's unique about my DISC reports is that they are not text heavy. They don't include complex graphs or charts, which a lot of profiling tools do. And that is for the simple reason that in my many years of working with hiring managers, as well as recruiters as well, and HR managers, their common complaint is that they find it too much. It's overwhelming.
Sure.
I've got operational managers telling me they've worked with other profiling tools that, you know, come with 30 plus pages. So over 30 pages is just way too much.
Recruiters don't even want to look at 3-page resumes. 30
yeah,
pages profile.
That's it. That's exactly it. So to give you an example, so one of my reports is just 1 page. That's how simple it can be if that's what you're looking for. But, you know, for the reports that I work with recruiters, they're usually just, I believe, about 12 pages long. So to work with me, it's simply, at the moment, I've got a very simple process of purchasing the DISC reports directly through the website. Otherwise, if you're still interested to know more, then I definitely encourage anyone who is keen to get in touch with me, where I can offer you a complimentary sample DISC assessment so you can experience the process and see the report that I provide.
And you interpret every single report, don't you, personally?
Yeah, I have a quick look. I have a review. So the results are automatically tabulated. So I don't sit down and count the results. So I have a system working for me, but I do review and just make sure that they, you know, I'm not identifying that the candidate is going through a contradictory or conflicting phase, or maybe there is an invalid response, to which I will go back to the hiring manager or recruiter and let them know that they might have to redo the results. Okay. So I like to give my reports a run, glance over before I send them over.
Nice. And what's the turnaround time usually for things like that?
Yeah. So it's 1 to 2 business days on average, but my current, I usually try and provide it within 1 day itself. So
and I think
not
that's
too long
really, that's really yeah. important, because you know, the recruitment market, the way it is, it's moving at lightning speed.
Yes.
Anything that's going to slow down the process by even a day or two is already a problem.
Yeah.
So the faster the better.
That's right. So yeah, 24 hours at the moment is the turnaround time.
Nice. Love it.
Yeah.
Well done. That is awesome, Teresa. I mean, you've got a wealth of knowledge in this kind of stuff.
Thank you. Appreciate
and
that.
I can see that you're extremely passionate about it as well.
Yes. I'm a huge disc advocate. Yes.
Have you, where's your disc necklace? Your disc earrings.
That's a bit too out there for me.
Have you noticed that in the last, year or two, certain subsections of certain industries are uptaking more disc profiling? Any trends that you've seen?
Yes. So there isn't a particular industry that stands out, but I do have construction, engineering, mining clients that I work with, of course, and office support, and even IT as well. Because like the example I've just provided, IT guys tend to be very techy. So meaning not techy as in techy, but just their headspace is like, very technologically inclined. So it's really hard to know, do they have the ability to communicate with senior management or clients? So that's where disc profiles really help. And also I had one recruiter tell me that he would actually appreciate disc profiling being done for his engineering clients, because engineers tend to come with all kinds of weird behaviors and personalities. Right. So he just really wants to understand, they come in all shapes and sizes. So he really wants to just get a better idea of who he's dealing with, and more importantly, how this person fits into that, his client's culture.
Beautiful. I think it's a great idea. It makes perfect sense. And, you know, as we chatted about earlier, there's more and more emphasis on the people side of things and the human side of things these days. And it's only going to get more and more pronounced. So I think, you know, using these type of things, integrating these type of, you know, processes and products into your recruitment process and into your management process is so useful.
Absolutely.
Amazing. And if people want to get in touch with you, Teresa, how do they find you?
Yeah, so you can either connect me with me on LinkedIn. All right, I love connecting. So send me an invite or jump into my website and send me an email as well.
Love it. Awesome. And do you want to tell everybody what your website is?
Yes, it is impactpersona.com.au.
Impactpersona.com.au.
Yeah, or search me on LinkedIn.
Yeah, and you're on LinkedIn, obviously.
Yes.
I'm going to make sure that I put all those details in the show notes for everybody as well.
Thank you very much.
But Teresa, it's been an absolute pleasure. I could talk another hour about this stuff.
I know, me too. And there's so many other facets that I can talk about, you know, with DISC other than remote working. But that's all the time we have for today.
We might bring you back for another one.
Thank you. I would love to.
Really appreciate you coming on board. Is there any, I always like to give my guest the last word. Or any last comments or tips or tricks for people out there?
Tips or tricks? Well, I do have a lot of, you know, free resources on my LinkedIn. Or if you're keen to just start a conversation about DISC, please get in touch with me, because DISC is such a big area. It is a behavioral assessment. So yeah, just get in touch, talk to me, and I'm more than happy to share resources with you.
Love it. Fantastic. Well, Teresa, once again, thank you so much for joining me. Really appreciate you coming on the show.
Oh, you're so welcome.
It's been so valuable, and I'm sure everybody else will find it as valuable as I have. And everybody out there, we hope you enjoyed that. We'll see you very, very soon for another episode. Everybody have a fantastic weekend, and we'll see you next time. Thanks again, Teresa.
Thank you.